Blog Talk Radio
presents a Blog Radio Show.
Hello, 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 everybody. Welcome to Applause Radio Show. We are back, and we are excited, and we've got a great guest tonight. Before we start, I just want to apologize for our guest last week, Jen Maxfield. Unfortunately, she had to reschedule, and I didn't get her email. It went to my spam, and I never check my spam, but I'll be doing that going forward. So Jen will be back with us at a later date. We're going to set that up. But tonight, I'm so excited to talk to somebody I watched on TV growing up. My entire life. I still watch reruns, so my entire life. Mr. Butch Patrick from the Munsters. He's an actor, musician, which I didn't know you were a musician, Butch. So I'm very excited to talk about that. So with us tonight is Mr. Butch Patrick. Hi, Butch. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Joanne. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you. Let's just jump right in because I know we don't have much time. But now, you were 7 years old when you started in the business. How old were you when you started on the Munsters?
I was 11.
Oh, so forget it. You weren't scared. I was going to ask if you had any moments where the set scared you or, you know, like that when they put their makeup on, did they frighten you? But I don't think at 11 you'd be frightened. No, right?
No, I would have. It wouldn't have scared me even at seven. I was a fairly analytical little kid. I was wise beyond my years.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, thank God they didn't go with Happy Derman. For those of you who don't know, Happy Derman was in the pilot. And I know why they picked you, because you were cute. You were sweet. He looked mean. You know what I mean? I thought he looked mean.
Well, you know, he was probably being directed that way, too.
That's what I was going to say, unless they told him to do that. Yeah. You know, but you were just adorable. You were just adorable. And I can't help saying this, that when I was watching Lidsville, I had no idea that was you when I was a kid until I was much older. I had no idea that was you. Did you enjoy working on Lidsville with Charles Nelson Reilly, or did you barely get to see? Was he crazy on the set? Because he seemed like a crazy guy.
It was a crazy shoot. It definitely was. We were doing a lot of pages a day. It was very it was actually, believe it or not, for a Saturday morning show, it was very creative. They had three cameras. We were going through a lot of pages a day. We had Chroma Key, which was a brand new technological breakthrough. So we had voices. We had people reading the voices off stage. The director was in another sound stage watching you and talking to you through a God mic. So it was really unusual.
And how old were you when you did Lidsville?
Summer I turned 18.
And how old were you supposed to be on Lidsville? What age were you
15.
Playing?
15. 14, 15,
not a far stretch, not a far stretch. But you were so handsome in that. Oh, my God. You were so cute in the Munsters and handsome on that. And for those of you guys that don't know, I mean, Butch has been in basically everything we've ever watched growing up, too. He's had roles in Ben Casey, Mr. Ed, Rawhide. I mean, you've been on everything. I mean, you've been on everything that we watched growing up. I mean, are you as fanatical as the fans that come and see you about the shows of those times, that classic era of TV?
Well, you know, I was very lucky that I was born in 1953, so I was old enough to catch a little bit of the 50s, you know, and that was very early television. I was a television fan. I was watching TV, and I saw a lot of early TV, which I enjoyed very much. But in coming into the 60s, when I started working, it was a great decade to be involved in Hollywood, not only from a music standpoint, but movies and television and movies. And then I phased into the mid-70s before I really got out of the business. So my window of life and opportunity in the creative world was really a good one. I was very lucky to be around at a very interesting time. And, yes, I did Mr. Ed's and My Favorite Martians and I Dream of Genius and these non-reality-based shows. But I also could ride a horse, and my uncle was a jockey, and I went to the racetrack as a 3 or 4 year old kid. I'd go with my uncle to Hollywood Park and be around the jockeys and the horses. So that came in handy for me to do westerns.
Right.
I had a knack for acting. It was never a career move. It was more of I sort of stumbled into it by way of going for a ride for a photo shoot for my sister. And at the end of the shoot, the photographer took a picture of me that wound up in his window on Hollywood Boulevard, where it was noticed by a director and producer who were casting a movie with Eddie Albert and Jane Wyatt, Soupy Sales, Brenda Lee, and they were still looking for the youngest son. And it turned out that they liked my look and gave me my first job.
Right. Well, I actually have a two-parter for you. Now, your sister was actually the actor in the family, and you kind of, like, stumbled into it, like you said, with the picture. So did your sister ever get any major roles or no?
Well, she was only 3 years old. She was
a baby.
They were looking at her to do modeling and print modeling, and they thought it might be a good idea. So my dad arranged for that, and then my mom's friend was opening the first agency that was exclusively for children, and her name was Mary Grady. Her son was Don Grady, who was on the very popular My Three Sons TV show as Robbie. So Mary, I was one of her first clients, got off to a fast start during the 6 weeks of the filming. I got a commercial, I got General Hospital and Ben Casey and a few other shows. So I was within 6 months of my first interview, I had several credits going in a movie and a commercial and a series.
Nice, nice. Now, when you, like, here's the second part, or you mentioned earlier that you were a TV buff. You liked watching the movies and TV. Now, you worked with some amazing, amazing classical actors that are no longer with us. I mean, how was that, being in their presence, or you were just working? It really didn't bother you.
My mom would kind of bring me up to speed on who I was working with if I didn't know them. Some of them I knew. Like, for instance, when I did The Real McCoys, I was familiar with Richard Crenna, Dick Crenna, from Our Miss Brooks, which was a series in the 50s with Eve Arden, which was very popular. But my mom educated me to Walter Brennan's roles and his 3 Oscars that he got for his westerns with John Ford. So that was interesting. And then she would explain to me who Judy Garland was, and I knew Burt Lancaster was, but I wasn't familiar with Judy Garland except for the little Judy Garland from The Wizard of Oz.
Right, right. And I mean, you've worked with the greats. I mean, Sidney Poitier, you just said Burt Lancaster. Yeah. I mean, you've worked with the major actors that we'll never see again in my lifetime, I think. I think the classic actor is gone. Classic Hollywood is gone. And, you know, I mean, it's not the same. It's not like these actors of today. They won't have the longevity of the actors that in the past that we grew up watching. So, but that's my opinion anyway. But
well,
now,
you know what society was so much different today than it used to be. And it was just a different time. And, you know, people will say, why can't they make TV shows like that anymore? And I try to remind them that, you know, everything that's made, movies and television stuff, is pretty much reflective of the time it's being made.
Yeah,
you can get a period piece and you can make something look old, but it's still being done in real time, and the real time writing and the real time actors and all that stuff. So the flashing back to the 30s and 40s, like Yvonne DiCarlo was a major movie star, and the people from that period and that wonderful time in life when the movie theaters were large and ornate, and they weren't like, you know, multiplexes, and then you had red carpets and you have these great premieres. That's a lost art. That's from days gone by. And it'll never be the same.
No, it'll never be the same. It's a shame, but at least, you know what? I'm happy to say I was part of it, and it made me the person I am today, I think. Part of it anyway.
There you go.
You know? being part of it. So now I know I believe you're a bassist, right? You're a bass player.
Well,
what?
Well, yeah, not really. I mean, I have a bass. I play a bass. It's like having golf clubs and being a golfer. That doesn't necessarily make you a professional. Having golf clubs in the trunk does not make you a golfer. It makes you swing a club and hit a ball. But as far as bass goes, I never really took the trouble and the time to learn it properly. It was always just kind of a hobby. But what happened was in 1971, Bobby Sherman was under contract to Metro Media Records. And after Lidsville came out, they let Bobby Sherman go, and they were looking for a replacement. So the music of that time was very bubblegum, and it was Donny Osmond and Michael Jackson and David Cassidy and Bobby Sherman. Well, Bobby Sherman was out of the equation, and a guy that was managing a group called Sugarloaf back in the day, which was a fairly big band, Green Eyed Lady, Don't Call Us, We'll Call You, and you know a few other songs. They were my studio band, and a gentleman said, "We want to, we signed you into a contract. Metro Media picked up the tab. I went on an American Bandstand, and I didn't sing. And I told them I couldn't sing up front, and they said that wouldn't be a problem. We could dub it in, and this and that. And I took singing lessons, and I still never really became. I never wanted to be a singer, and I never told them I could be a singer. But they convinced me that this could be a financially rewarding move in the business, and we went out, and basically it was tough to sell it when you really couldn't perform. And so I like to, in a joking way, I make myself, I'm the original Munster Manili, long before Millie.
Munster Manili, how cool is that? Well, I've got a surprise for you, and you could have fooled me, because this to me was, like you said, bubblegum, and it was a hit. Listen to this. I got a surprise for you, Butch. Check it out. I'm going to reminisce with you.
I don't.
Yeah.
This is Iowa Sugar.
This one's good.
A taste of honey.
I want to use it all the time. It's yours and mine. If we can get it together, we can have our taste and need it too. Me and you, forever and ever, sugar. I won't say the bitter with the sweet. I can't if I can't feel the beat, get yourself in tune with me, and you'll find out how sweet your life can be.
I love bubblegum. Man, you can't tell me you weren't smiling listening to that, because I had a smile on my face the entire time.
What's funny about that is I did the American Bandstand, and there was this new upstart band that was – I was actually the headliner over Loggins and Messina.
Really? No shit.
Yeah.
How cool is that? Wow.
Unbelievable. Okay, well, that was a surprise treat. Thank you, Joanne.
No, thank you. I enjoy it. And I really think you did a better version of I.O. than the Bee Gees. You know, so call me crazy, right?
Yeah. That was, how can we go wrong? You know, the Bee Gees, we had a Bee Gees song, and we had Sugarloaf in the studio, and there was only one little thing wrong. I couldn't sing.
And did you enjoy it, though? Were you enjoying it? Or?
Oh, I had such a good time for a year. I mean, we went on the road. We spent so much money. And we had so many parties, and it was really, everybody should be a rock star for a year. It's worth the memories for sure.
An exciting time. Wow. Amazing. Amazing. Well, you've got a couple of books out too. Are you working on anything new, any new books? Or I was thinking a book like about all the people you've worked with over the years, because you've worked with some amazing folks.
Well, you know, it's a gentleman who was a big influence, who recently passed away in Hollywood, a gentleman named Kevin Burns. He was the biggest Munsters collector, and he produced the biographies, and he produced the Irwin Allen stuff, and Ancient Aliens, and The Curse of Oak Island, and The Girls Next Door, so on and on and on. But anyway, he told me, because I two things in my life. Number one, I'm a cancer survivor. I've been sober now almost 12 and a half years. So he says, you know, it's time for you to write a book about survival and, you know, and coming out the other side. And it can be motivational, and it can be supportive to people with issues and this and that. So that may be the next book. But the problem with the book is, number one, is the publishing business. It's literally, I hate to say this, it's really tough to make a buck with a book. It's a lot of work for very little recovery, unless you are a president or a major star, you know, or unless you want to throw dirt on the, you know, and gasoline on the fire, which I don't. So under those situations, yeah, I've had a couple books, and I'm glad I have them at the table and people enjoy them. But as far as a book on my own, coming out the other side of Hollywood and surviving cancer, that might be in the works. That might be something, maybe a speaking tour of some sort. Yeah.
Nice. Well, for those of you who don't know, the books that are currently out, I'm sorry, I'm choking on nothing. A Coffin Table Book. I love that. A Coffin Table Book.
Yeah.
Munster Memories.
A mini Coffin Table Book.
Nice. And The Munsters, A Trip Down Mockingbird Lane. How cool is that? I mean, just great times. And do you ever find yourself sitting back watching the show once in a while or no?
Occasionally, if I happen to be around it and there's an episode that I like, I watch it for different reasons now. I actually look at it for everybody else's participation and to see the set design and listen to the music and listen to the sound, because it was such a well-produced show that one of the reasons people like it so well is because it was a solid show. It had good quality.
Was The Munsters the first show to do color, or am I thinking else?
No, we never did. We were never in color. We did a movie in color, but
the
our
movie,
episodes were black and white. The pilot with Happy Durman was in color.
I thought something was in color.
Yeah, pilot and the movie, but we were black and white. We were right on the cusp of color, and as we went off the air, everybody was going to color,
Speaking of the episodes, what was your favorite episode? Let's see if we got the same episode.
Well, there's a couple of them, and for different reasons. Number one was Hot Rod Herman episode.
Was
I was very happy with that because of the going to the drag strip and having the Dragula, the second George Barris car, introduced to the show was wonderful.
I
loved that one. I also enjoyed Eddie's Nickname, Where I Grew a Beard, and the reason
that's
I,
one
I,
of my
remember,
favorites. That's one of my favorites.
Yeah, there's a couple of reasons for that. Number one is that it was really great at the end of the show how Herman has those words of wisdom that resonate so well today. And then, but my main thing was I love the scene with Dr. Dudley, Paul Lynde, when he sees me in the waiting room with Herman, and he says, "Oh my God, Mr. Munster had the guts to have a kid," and he looks out and he sees me with this paper bag over my head. And this beard sticking out the bottom, and you're wondering what the heck can this possibly be hiding. So that was one of my favorite episodes. And then the third one is Zombo, where Louie and I plays a horror host
that I'm
enamored with because I think he's real.
Yes, and you pull all the shit off his face. That's what those two. I can't believe you picked those. Those are my two favorites. I'm not lying to you. I swear. on my children. That those are my two favorite monsters.
There's a lot of good ones. Those were all good. If I had to pick a fourth one, Bill Mumy, when he guest starred as Googie, Little Googie was a good one. Bill and I are friends, and I was the only kid at Universal Studios. So whenever I had a guest star, it was always a nice week to have somebody to play with and to hang out with.
Right. Well, listen, I'm old now. I can't remember this. Did the Munsters and the Addams Family ever collide? Did they ever meet or anything like that? Did they ever do an episode like that? They should have.
Different nights and different studios. So the
it would have been a great show, just one episode of you guys hooking up, you know? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, they didn't get that creative back then.
Yeah, I guess not. Well, I can't say that I'm creative. It just dawned on me now that it would have been really cool to have an Addams Family Munsters episode, but it is what it is. So, Butch, why'd you wait so long to take hold of the brand and become the Munsters brand now? You're basically the last one left. I mean, who's left? Is Pat Priest still with us? I believe she's still with us, right?
Yeah, she's still with us, yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. I cut you off.
No, I was just going to say, I just made some arrangements for her to start selling some autographs. She's been up on the mountain in Idaho for 30-some-odd years, and COVID, you know, kind of kept her away from everything. I think I'm going to try to get her to come down and I'm a member of a car club, and we do a giant car show, and she loves meeting the fans, so I'm going to see if she can do a Labor Day this year to come down to Mahwah, New York, and right on the Jersey state line and come to our show. But she's alive, and that would be wonderful.
And the two of you are, but what took you so long to take hold of the brand and become the brand now? Because, you know, when you became the brand.
I've been doing it ever since Eddie and the Monsters in 1982.
Oh, so in the 80s is when you started working on it. That's what I'm saying. I mean, you could have ran with this a long time ago is what I mean, you know.
Well, 82, that's, you know, I just did it when I was 29.
Mm. Yeah, I guess that's it.
Yeah, that's almost 40 years.
Yeah, I'm old, you know.
I
don't know what I'm thinking.
I've been doing it 40 years.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank God for that because the fans love you. I love you. I love the show. I love that time. I love everything about it. And are you doing Chiller in Jersey this year in April?
No, I did the first Chiller 31 years ago, and I've done it about six times through the run. I love the people at Chiller. I know them well, and I've always had a good time. And my car club actually usually supplies the cars, all the TV cars for them. But it just happens to fall at Halloween, and I have my own haunted attraction down in Arkansas that I have to man. So unfortunately, I was thinking about doing the spring show, but I'm already booked for something else. I will be at Chiller again someday.
Nice. Here's a question I have for you that just dawned on me. What did you take from the set of the Munsters? Anything that you still have to this day? Or you didn't even think of it?
No, didn't even think of it. I used to bring home ears and headpieces from Herman on a weekly basis, but as soon as I got home, I gave them to local kids,
friends.
You know, people at school.
What about your little doll? Where's Doll?
Wolf was given to me about 6 years after the show was over by the prop man when I was out doing Ironside. He gave it to me, and I now have three dolls and a fourth one in the works being built. So I have several Wolf-Wolfs, yeah.
Yeah, they'd be cool to resell. I think people would swarm
I made over 130 of them over the last 30 years.
Wow. That was the coolest doll at the time.
Yeah,
you
know? I
know. Oh, my goodness. So, well, you already tapped into a little bit of where we can see you. Tell us more. Where can folks go? The car show on Labor Day in upstate New York. Where else?
Oh, that's at Mahwah, New York. It's just Dead Man's Curve, Wild Hot Rod Weekend. That'll be at the Sheraton Mahwah over Labor Day.
Nice.
Go to Munsters.com and just go to events on my page. You can see everything I'm doing. And go to the store if you want to purchase something or, you know, want to add to your collection or expand your collection, however it works, or start your collection.
Yeah.
They can do that. And I'm on the road a lot, so there's a very good chance that whatever part of the country you may be in, I'll get within driving distance.
Right, and check the website. You'll see your schedule there where he'll be, and that's Munsters.com. monsters. If you say monsters, you're not a monster fan, so get the hell out of here. It's monster.com.
It's gotta be a you.
That's right, that's right. Butch, thank you so much for joining me. It was great hanging out with you. I hope you could come back around Halloween. I'd love to have you on around Halloween.
We will talk, and make sure you keep checking your spam folder.
Yes. Oh, God, I can't believe it. You know, that's never happened to me. And I'm sitting here on the show. I'm waiting for I just hate it because I get worried, you know, when a guest is supposed to call. I think something's wrong and they got hurt or something. It just scares the hell out of me, you know. Well, I was wondering, would you be interested in taking a phone call? We've got a caller. Would you like to talk to someone or you have
to run? We can do a quick call.
Here we go. Let's see who we got. Let's see who we got on the phone for you. Let's see. Hang on, folks. It's connecting. Hey, welcome to Applause Radio Show. You're on with Butch Patrick. What's your name?
This is Patty.
Oh, Patty. Hey, Patty.
Hi, Patty.
Hi, Jojo. Hi, Butch. My first question is, when are you coming to Arizona?
No kidding.
You know, I was just in there. I was just in Chandler, and I just was talking to my friend in Tombstone, and I've been to Bisbee. And Tucson. So I get out there, about once or twice a year.
I did see that you were down in Tombstone, and I made some nice comments on those Tombstone pictures, but I want to see you at one of those shows. I want to see you, like, really see you.
He looks great.
Okay,
you look,
Patty,
you look great,
I will.
By the way, Butch, you look great. You really do. You look wonderful, especially like you said, the cancer and coming out the other side. You look fabulous.
Well, I'm almost 70, but I'm holding up pretty good.
God bless you.
Geez.
Wow, amazing.
Yes, Patty, well, keep an eye out. I will. I do get to Arizona, not often, but at least once or twice a year. So. Hopefully we'll do something. Maybe I'll do something this summer with Gretchen Bonaducci and Bisbee again.
Oh, that'd be great. I'd love to go down there. Well, I know somebody else on this call that's going to Arizona real soon.
Yeah, I'll be heading out to Arizona soon. I'm going out in June. So, but anyway, Patty, thank you.
Yes.
If you want to find out more about
thank you, Patty.
Go to Munsters.com and you can get some good merch and find out where Butch will be.
I sure
thank
will.
You,
thank you so much. Nice talking to you.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Nice,
bye-bye.
Nice chatting. Bye-bye.
All right, everybody. Butch Patrick, thank you so much, Butch. It was a pleasure hanging with you, and we made it just in time. So I can't thank you enough for spending your valuable time with me tonight. It's been nothing but a pleasure for me.
Thank you, Joanne. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye, everybody. Butch Patrick, thank you, Butch. Bye-bye. Oh, boy. What a thrill. I'm telling you. What a thrill. You know, the guests I have on the show, I hope you enjoy them. They're of interest to me. I'm dying to ask them questions and speak to them. I didn't want to ask him the same old stupid questions that people ask him. So it was nice to just chat with him and, you know, instead of asking him the same stupid questions that he gets all the time. And the fact that he continues to carry on the Munster name, and he and Pat Priest being the only two remaining of the cast, I mean, somebody's got to carry it, right? And he said he's 70. Wow. And he looks damn good. He looks really good. And what do you think of that song? I want sugar all the time. I mean, for some who can't sing, man, they really, really did good. So, and his version of I-O-I-O by the Bee Gees, that's good too. And if you haven't heard that, it's great bubblegum stuff, and I love bubblegum. I love the songs. They're like 2 minutes and 30 seconds. They're in and out. It's hit and run. There's a hit, and there you're in and out. You get your song. It makes you happy. I was smiling the whole time I heard it, so I hope I had made him smile throughout. So anyway, it was a nice surprise for me to play it. It was a nice surprise for him to hear it, I think. So anyway, thank you again for listening and hanging out, and I promise to bring you some great guests. There is some great stuff going on. If you guys want to check it out, go to our website or njpack.org's website. They are doing a festival, the three-day festival starting the 17th for NORC author Phil Roth. And they're going to be having meetings 3 days. It's a three-day, I don't know, I haven't called it a festival. I don't know. It's a three-day gig, and all these different celebrities will be doing readings. We're going to be giving away two tickets to the show. Oh, no. Where'd it go? The show we're going to be giving away, I don't have it, is going to have Cynthia Nixon reading, Matthew Broderick, and Sam Waterston, amongst others, that are going to be there. So, and these 3 days, there are other actors that will be shows, and there are tickets available. You go online and check it out at njpack.org. And also, I'll be giving away two tickets if you guys want to attend the reading with Matthew Broderick and Cynthia Nixon and Sam Waterston. And I just don't have the date in front of me. It's probably in my email, in my spam, right? So, yeah, I can't wait to get Jen Maxwell back, Maxfield back on, because I had a million questions for her. I was like curiosity overload on that one. So I couldn't wait to have her on. But she's coming back. We'll reschedule. And, again, it was my fault because they did send me an email to reschedule. It just went to my spam, and I never check my spam, never. But I will be doing so going forward because I don't want to miss any more anybody. You know, I get a lot of emails with people requesting to be on the show, and, I mean, I may have missed some of those. I haven't been on my email in 3 months. So, you know, we've been off the air for 3 months. So, anyway, but, yeah, we're going to have a great time the rest of the month. We've got on the 15th, blues legend Savoy Brown, the bassist from Savoy Brown, Pat DeSalvo, he's going to be on. They've got some new music out. We're gonna hopefully going to play a couple of tunes. And then on the 16th, we've got Keith Coogan. He'll be on at 10 p.m., not 9 p.m. Keith will be on at 10 p.m. Eastern. We had to go a little later on that one. Keith Coogan is, what's his uncle's name? Oh, I don't know. I think it's his uncle. Could be his uncle. I don't know. Oh, God, he was Uncle Fester on the Addams Family. Oh, God, I can't think of his first name. But I'm thinking, I'm confusing him with Corey Feldman as well. And I believe they're related. I think so. So anyway, Keith Coogan, actor from Adventures in Babysitting. He's been in many, many movies. So I can't wait to have him on the 16th at 10 p.m. Eastern. And then on the 21st, we've got a new blues musician. His name is Clay Melton, and he's got a couple of new songs out, and I can't wait to have him on. I'm going to play some music, and then we're going to go back. We're going to go way back. We got Joey D from Joey D and the Starlighters doing Peppermint Twist. Well, you got a new dance, and it goes like this. Bup, shup, bup, 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 shup, bup. Can't wait to have Joey on. We're going to have a great time with Joey. And then Kenny Vance is going to be on the 23rd. Kenny was part of, Jay Black and Americans, and he a lot of doo-wop groups. He was great. And he's got a new film coming out. It's going to be released in Asbury. They're doing a film festival on the 25th. So tune in for that to get more information about that. And the film is basically footage that was lost in his home during Hurricane Sandy. He had his house was like demolished, and there was one area of the house remaining. It was a portion of his office, and he found these tapes. I get chills thinking of the memories that would have the classic music memories that would have been lost forever. So he saved those and put it into a movie, and that's going to be really great. And then on the 26th, this Sunday, we've got Christine Wiltshire, and she's calling in for, I don't know, maybe Denmark, possibly. And Christine is from the music group, the 70s disco band, Musique. Don't tell me to remember them. I can't wait to play it. You kidding me? Push in the bush. So we're going to have her on. So we're going to have an exciting month. I'm glad to be back. I'm excited to be back. And we're already filling up for April. And we are back. We're back for good. And go check out our website, applauseradioshow.com, and check our calendar. You see who's coming up. And also check out all our affiliates and everything, and see who's got. And don't forget to stop in at River and Henley in New Milford, New Jersey, if you're in an area. And njpack.org for their new festival coming up. And they've got some great, great shows that are there. I'll be attending the Freestyle Show and John Anderson from Yes. And I'm hoping I might be able to get some tickets to give away for that. I'll find out. Right now they're really busy with the festival for Phil Roth. We will definitely touch base with you guys on our next show. So have a great night. I hope you guys enjoy the show. Butch, it was a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you so very much. I hope you come back for a Halloween thing. We can play some of your stuff. Remember whatever happened to Eddie, and, you know, we'll do that. And, oh, boy, I want to take a little time and check out I-O-I-O, another one of Butch's songs online. And I'm telling you, the magic of the studio, because this is perfect bubblegum, and it's classic. So have a good night, everybody. Thank you so much. We will see you guys on Wednesday the 15th with bassist Pat DeSalvo from Savoy Brown. Take care. Bye-bye, everybody. Have a good night.
A taste of honey.
I want to use it all the time. Yours and mine, we can get it together.